You're listening.
You're singing.
To That Gets My Goat.
That Gets My Goat.
Hey, folks.
Hi.
This is Rish.
And Big.
And this is That Gets My Goat.
Welcome.
It seems like it's been a while since we've done this.
Yeah, kind of.
Does it to you?
I think it's because the last one you just had to throw away. Because you got the wrong goat.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. We'll take 1 minute. Ready? Start the timer.
Beep.
Okay, so we did an episode that I decided I probably won't use. Not that I'm ashamed of things that were said, but we've had so much bad luck with people either misinterpreting or being offended or upset by things that we've said. And in the midst of that one, I just thought, oh, shoot, it's going to happen again. Context notwithstanding, you know, this is something that could come and bite me or mm-hmm. us. And ultimately, I just felt like, okay, well, I will shelve that. And maybe it'll come out later. Maybe we'll use it to reward people that donate or something, or punish people that donate and all that. But it's weird because now we have an audience. We found out that there are people that we don't know that listen to our show. And
they live in San Antonio.
And they like it or they don't like it. And there was one person that quit listening to the show because of something we said on the air. I was like, okay, well, what if that happens again kind of thing? So, yeah, that was what happened with.
That was more than a minute.
I know it was. I'm
sorry.
That
was never 5 minutes just then.
I'm sorry. I can't continue to get your goat unless you've paid.
So anyways, moving on.
So well, let's just do a brief episode right now, which of course will spiral out of control.
It'll never be brief.
But do you want to tell me about what you experienced? Does this show have to be us complaining about something, or can it just be you and me shooting the, you know,
it can be breeze? Whatever the hell we want it to be. It's our show.
Okay. Do you have anything that got your goat this week?
My goat. This is not my goat.
Okay,
gotten,
okay. Let's have this just be breeze. A shoot the breeze episode.
It's sort of a got my goat. It kind of, I guess.
Let's
you could
let
say
it
my
evolve
naturally.
And I'll probably use just filthy slang for minorities and in this episode as well. And then we'll never get listened to.
So we can go ahead and take care of that now.
Darn whitey.
My friend turned 40 the other day.
Rectus Dominus.
I'm getting close to that monumental age myself.
Big, 40 is the new 8. Just
good.
Needed you to know
good.
That.
Good. Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of people that are 40 act like they're 8. So there is that. But yeah, you know, that's a hard age to come to. And so what we did to make him feel better is we had a big party and everybody dressed as though it were the 70s. Because that was the year he was born, being that it's 2010 now and he's 40. You know, to make him feel all the older, we all dressed in period costume. And we played all like disco music and crap like that. And we danced, we pointed a lot at the ceiling. And most of the people that were there, they were his friends. So I didn't really I didn't really know all that many of them. And those that I did know, I didn't know very well because, you know, I hang out with him, but I don't hang out with his friends. He hangs out with his friends. And there was this woman there that I'd never met before. And it turns out that she was there talking to my friend's wife and my wife and saying, oh, yeah, and this and that. And I heard her talking and she's like, yeah, and it's getting published and it's coming out here pretty soon and et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, oh. And then my wife says, oh, well, you need to talk to him then because, yeah, my husband, he's a writer too. And she's like, oh, really? You're a writer? And I had to admit, well,
I was on Bosley Gravel's Cavalcade of Horror, I'll let you know.
I don't know that I can be considered a writer because a writer is one who writes. And that's not really something that I do. But I dream about writing, and I think about writing, and about writing.
Are you not nano-rhyming right now?
You know, I'm supposed to be, but I haven't started on it yet. So I suppose
you
I'm going to I'm going to have to push the start bait back. Or I don't. You know, that's, I guess, the thing that gets my goat. You know, we've talked about it 100 times on the show, is just we would like to be writers. We think about writing. We come up with ideas for stories. And instead of writing them down, we find other things to do. Or maybe that's
you
just me.
You earn
now.
A paycheck and you raise your children. I don't know why you waste your time with this frivolity.
Well, there's other things that I all. And when it comes down
you
to
it. You pleasure your wife. You get the oil changed in your car. You shuffle the sidewalk. Shuffle.
I shuffle the sidewalk.
He has very large hands.
Yes,
folks.
It's pretty impressive how I can just those blocks of cement like that. But
are we talking about your wife again? Okay, continue.
You know, I find other things to do. I could find time to write. I could do it. Wait, we're not talking about that. We're talking about writing. I could find time to write. I could actually, you know, work on it. I could make it a priority. It's possible. But instead, I get discouraged. Or maybe I'll just read stupid message board posts instead for that 40 minutes that I could have been writing.
Well, how much of this did you tell that strange woman?
I didn't tell her that much. I was just saying, yeah, I don't know. And she's like, oh, you just got to do it. That's just all there is to it. You just got to do it. You know, when I finally got down to doing this, I just wrote 20 minutes a day. It adds up. And, you know, now I've written a novel. And she's got a novel that's being published or maybe out already. I did check out her blog when I got home that night, and yeah, she's got a book coming out, or came out, or I don't know exactly what the release schedule is on it, but she said she was going to be on the QVC trying to hawk her books. She's like, I'm the first author to be doing this, and we'll see how it goes, and they're flying me out to wherever to do this QVC spot.
Wow, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was in... I think she was saying I needed to NaNoWriMo, which I said, you know, I really wanted to, but November's such a hard month for me to do that because there's so much going on. And she was saying, yeah, well, the same thing. You know, if you're a woman, you've got like friggin' Thanksgiving coming along and you gotta
cook and do all that woman stuff.
You gotta do that womanly stuff.
Clean my underwear, woman.
Yeah. So basically what I took from this conversation from this woman, and it's something that I've heard before, I think Dean Wesley Smith said this in his whole series on writing, you know, what you got to do is write. And the difference between published writers and non-published writers is not talent. It's not whether you're a good writer or not a good writer. It's persistence and sticking to it and doing it versus dreaming about it like I do. I guess it's somewhat of a wake-up call for me. I don't know. I'm sure I'll probably just go on as I did before and do nothing and bemoan my fate of not being a published writer because how can you be a published writer if you haven't written anything? Of course I'm not going to be a published writer.
Bosley Gravel's Cavalcade of Horror.
That's true. I did publish a 900-word story or something like that, which you'd be able to soon hear the audio version.
Oh, you're kidding?
Yeah, read by me. It'll be awesome.
Wait, he made you read your own story? What kind of a douche is he?
He didn't make me. I volunteered.
You volunteered to read your own story? What kind of douche?
You volunteered me.
Did I really? Is that all on me?
But that's cool.
What kind of friend am I?
I was like, what kind of a douche?
Ah, too.
That's cool. I was excited to have busted through, you know, aside from getting a drabble on the Drabblecast, which I once also did, and that's the biggest thing I've ever done was, but no, it's possible I could get something published in more places if I just wrote it and maybe sent it about. And so, yeah, I don't know. I need to find some way to do that 20 minutes a day thing like this woman who is now a published author did. She started out with that. I think she said that her book that she published was a NaNoWriMo book.
Wow. And one thing that you haven't mentioned is she's 11 years old and is already published.
I do believe that she is much younger than me, but I'm not sure. I doubt that she's even
in her... Hard to tell
with
fat people. I'm sorry. Say that again. You doubt that she's...
I doubt that she's even in her 30s.
Wow. Well, that's frustrating to me.
It is. Yeah.
Like I say, whenever we get a story from somebody and he says, you know, I've been published in this and that and this and that and this, and soon to be graduating primary school. And I just thought, wow.
Soon to be graduating nursery school.
I've done nothing in my life. Well, that's interesting. And, you know, every time you get excited about writing, it makes me excited. You know, we sort of feed off of one another's energy sometimes, especially mm-hmm. when we get together to solely talk about writing. And that almost never happens now because the podcast takes up a lot of that. But I feel that a lot of my creative juices are fed or swallowed up or whatever a good thing to do with juices is by podcasting, by reading stories, by participating in other people's things and acting. And I don't know if you're just left frustrated, like your wife, when we do the podcast and just like, shoot, I could have written a whole short story in the time that we were talking about Harry friggin' Potter and all that. But
that's true.
I don't know. Do you feel that way? Because I
don't feel that way about the show. I don't feel that I'm wasting my time doing that. No. I sometimes think, you know, maybe I would write a lot more if I didn't do the show.
Like, that's probably a given.
There's a lot of free time that I use up doing that. But what I figure is most likely to happen is someday I'll be like, oh, I'll write a lot more if I don't do the show. So I quit. And then I'll quit and I will still write none. And then I won't even have the show to blame it on or to pass my time with. And so it'll just be a huge mistake. And so if I ever get to the point where I think that, I'm going to have to prove to myself first that I will write before I ever say, okay, now I will quit the show so I can write more.
Well, the most productive I remember you ever being as a writer, not as a human being, was when you were forced to go to the bowels of Canada and forced to do nothing. And I believe you wrote three stories. You finished one story and wrote two entire stories during this time when you were imprisoned in Ottawa or Saskatchewan or Manitoba or whatever it was. And correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going on a family trip next week.
That's true.
One of those where you will be stuck somewhere, you know, the kids sleeping or whatever with nothing to do and no computer outlet and all that stuff. I mean, maybe you'll have a laptop and all that. But
we will have a laptop.
But you'll have no,
I could type on it.
No opportunity to work on the podcast. No opportunity to do the things that suck up your free time. So maybe I should challenge you to try and repeat that experience you had when you went to Canada and write at night or write in the morning or write while somebody's in the shower or somebody's puking on the teacups. Let that inspire you and feed your creative energies and use it to – it's not too late to do NaNoWriMo. Who cares
that
they have an artificial start date and end date? Because the whole point, regardless of what any person tells you, is to get you to work on something creatively, to write, to put forth more of an effort than you would have last month. And you can do that without anybody saying, you know, your deadline is next Wednesday. What have you got?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The NaNoWriMo that I was going to do was already starting halfway through the month. And then, of course, I didn't start then.
But start the second your last day of work happens. And I think you can – after that, I probably was an a-hole friend and didn't read all the stories that you wrote during that Canadian period. But one of the stories that you read was probably the best thing that you'd ever written. I thought it was great. And now Abby may disagree, but she's wrong, man. She thinks that cats are cool.
That's it. The hate mail is pouring in.
No, this is That Gets My Goat.
You mentioned cats. People, it's all over.
You know, there's no forum for That Gets My Goat. I can say whatever I want. I can say that the Nazis had cool uniforms. And there's no complaining or whatever. You
they
chose to listen.
They dressed in black and had skulls on their uniforms, as What's-His-Face said. Uberman, when he mentioned that in his author's note. There was no
time.
Yeah, that's it. John Madai. Yeah, there was no time, he said, where it was more clearly delineated who was good and who was bad. You could easily have had superheroes then because, heck, the bad guys dressed in black and had skulls on their uniforms.
There was this British sketch comedy show where they had two Nazis and they were in a bunker together. And they're just waiting for the Allies to attack. And the one says to the other, have you ever noticed that we've got skulls on our hats? And he's like, well, yes, we do. He's like, and look, this little skull here too. He's like, what? Isn't that kind of morbid? He's like, well, I'd never really noticed it. And he's, you don't suppose we could be the baddies, do you? And all that. And the two of them like existentially pondering that they might be the bad guys was so funny. But yeah, I'm not really sure how they justified that, except from that, you know, it's intimidating to have skulls on your uniforms.
Right.
There was something I wanted to talk about. Should we just say come back next week?
It's up to you, man. You're the chief of That Gets My Goat.
I am.
We can just go straight through and you can split it in two and...
Well, we've been talking for like 15 minutes. I have a feeling. I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. So, I need you to auto-tune that. So
oh, can, okay. You reference. Are singing Black Eyed Peas.
No. Oh, dude, I heard this like kids CD of a bunch of children singing like popular tunes of today. Oh, yeah.
Kids Bop.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah, we have some of those. They gave them out as Happy Meal toys one time.
Oh. In case you're listening at home, this is the first.
Let me put ice in this. Hold on a sec.
Okay, so we'll just sustain the vomiting. I've got a feeling that this... is that a poltergeist? What is making all that noise?
Come on.
Hello? Come on, dearie. You can do it. I've got a feeling that my portion of That Gets My Goat might be very long. So let's just call this a night.
Okay.
And you spoke, and then I will speak next week.
Besides, out of turn, though.
You're probably going to be gone, so I'll have something to upload while you're off nano-rhyming.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, is the verb nano-rhymo-ing? Because I just like nano-rhyming, because rhyming.
Yeah, rhyme is a verb already, and a noun.
Splunge.
Splunge for me too. See you later, folks.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
That Gets My Goat is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Very sad.